The national debate over marriage equality has gotten our linguist Jeff Nunberg thinking about the changing uses of the word marriage.
It's a funny thing about dictionaries. First, we're taught to revere them. Then we have to learn to set them aside. Nobody ever went wrong starting a middle school composition with "according to Webster's." But that's not a phrase you'd use at the beginning of an op-ed commentary about terrorism or racism. When it comes to the words that do the cultural heavy lifting, we're not about to defer to some lexicographer hunched over a dusty keyboard. Except, of course, if the word is marriage. Now that even a lot of Republicans are accepting civil unions as a fallback position, what opponents of same-sex marriage object to most strenuously seems to be just its name. As a tactical move, thumping the dictionary has replaced thumping the Bible. As Rush Limbaugh recently put it, by definition, same-sex people cannot be married. You had the feeling that that by definition was really just a stand-in for by God. So lexicographers know they're on the hot seat as they confront the changing uses of the word. When Merriam-Webster revised their definition a couple of years ago, they went with what I think of as a two-state solution. They kept an older definition for marriage as the state of being united to a person of the opposite sex. But they added a second definition as the state of being united to a person of the same sex in a relationship like that of traditional marriage. Not surprisingly, that triggered headlines like "Webster's redefines marriage" on conservative websites. Merriam said they had no political agenda, they were just describing the language as it was actually being used. But the definition is a train wreck, which is what's apt to happen when you try to move forward while you're looking over both shoulders at the same time. That second meaning doesn't describe the way anybody uses the word. Gays and lesbians aren't claiming the right to a recognized relationship like traditional marriage, as Merriam puts it. They're talking about marriage without an asterisk, which is one reason why public opinion has shifted so rapidly in their favor. And the cultural right isn't about to sanction any use of the M-word for same-sex couples. The one thing both sides agree on is that whatever definition you give to marriage, there had better be just one of them. That's how the most recent edition of the Encarta Dictionary deals with a word, with a single definition that eliminates any reference to gender: a legally recognized relationship between two people who intend to live together as sexual and domestic partners. That's a redefinition of marriage, all right. But redefining a word isn't always the same as giving it a new meaning. Sometimes you're just trying to pare it down to the core concept that people miss the first time around. Dictionary definitions of camera used to mention film and plates. Now they just refer to a photosensitive surface. But the meaning of camera isn't different. It's just that now technology lets us see what its essence has been all along. Changes in social attitudes can prompt those reevaluations too. Until just a couple of years ago, the Oxford English Dictionary defined the romantic sense of love as a feeling of attachment based upon difference of sex. But the English language has never precluded describing a romantic attachment between two men or two women as love. It's just that those relationships were officially invisible to the OED's Victorian compilers. And other definitions would have led you to conclude that only men could have girlfriends or pay court to someone. In fact, the OED still defines a couple as a man and a woman united by love or marriage. No doubt they'll get around to replacing a man and a woman with two persons, but not because couple has a new meaning, but because we can finally see what was really basic to the old one. You can read Encarta's degendered definition of marriage in the same way: a legally recognized relationship between two people. That does what a good definition should. It crisply describes everything that's in the category and nothing that isn't. And like the redefinition of camera, it extends to the past as well as the present. It's not just what marriage has come to mean. It's all the word has ever meant, even when not everybody had the right to it. It can take people a while to get that. Marriage is more than a label to both sides. Words tend to pick up the flavors of the broth they've been steeping in. They're surrounded by customs and prescriptions that seem to infuse their very meanings. When I hear somebody using a word in a new way, it can sometimes sound more like a usage error than a challenge to my unexamined notions. I had to do a little mental stutter step the first couple of times I heard a gay friend talking about his husband. until I realized, oh yeah, it's just the guy in a marriage, the same as it ever was. But there's never been an age that was so quick or adept at making these adjustments. We spent the 1990s tacking virtual and cyber onto the names of what seemed like new kinds of things. Then we spent the next decade taking the prefixes off again as we realized that the new things were basically the same as the old ones. I have to get some e-money from my virtual bank so I can play cyber poker. That sounds so 1997. How long before gay marriage sounds equally quaint?
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist who teaches at the University of California, Berkeley School of Information. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org, and you can follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air and on Tumblr at nprfreshair.tumblr.com. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. WHYY's chief content officer is Christine Dempsey. I'm Terry Gross.